Good morning, Open Door Baptist Church. All right, glad to have you all here this morning. It's a special day. We have the children back. We haven't had them all summer long, and they're back singing with us today. And you know, Jessica brought to me a really good problem. We need a bigger pew, and we might need a bigger stage if this keeps growing. So that's really awesome. So great to have these guys. We all please stand as they open us up with worship this morning. Your grace is enough.
Your faithfulness, O God. You rest so well.
you all bow your heads as we open up the word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you for your many, many blessings, God. And Lord, I thank you that we can come here and worship you in spirit and in truth, God. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us with these wonderful children that you put in our care in order to teach them about you, God. And what a blessing they are to us as they lift their voices in praise to you, God. I thank you and I praise you for it. And Lord, be with us this morning as we worship you, God. I pray anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon us and every word that we sing and everything that we do, God, we point to bring to you to bring honor and glory. Be with Chuck Morrow this morning, God. Speak mightily through him to us through your word, God. And I thank you for it on Amy, your son Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated for a moment.
Good morning. Today and throughout the month of September, we will collect money for the Ola Cox State Mission Offering, which supports missions and churches here in the state of West Virginia. The Ola Cox Offering supports missions throughout West Virginia, including church missions and evangelism needs, age-level retreats, and missions education, training, and materials. The offering also supports associational partnerships as each of the 10 Southern Baptist associations in this state receive a portion of what is collected by the churches. Also, money collected provides church planting startup funds, church emergency funds, disaster relief funds, and more. The state goal is $100,000, and our church goal is $4,000. Open Door was started using Ola Cox funds, and our church may benefit from Ola Cox State Mission Offering in the future. Your giving helps to start other churches here in West Virginia and helps establish churches with unexpected emergencies. If you would like to give today, you will find envelopes in the pews in front of you. The week of prayer begins next Sunday. Please pray that the money collected will be used wisely in a way which will bring the gospel to more people here in the state of West Virginia. Thank you for your prayers and for your generosity.
Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that. We all please stand and continue with worship. When I was putting together this worship set this week, I just felt led to, you know what? Let's just talk about Jesus this morning because he is our example. He is the one who has saved us, and we want to be more like him and less like ourselves. Amen. I lose the fight. I try my best. I just don't get it right. Had a day like that? Where I talk the talk that I don't walk and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with a hurt that I could have helped. Somebody with a hand that I could have held. When I just can't see past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Denying that I have changed, I've been safe from who I used to be. But even at my best, I must confess, I still need help to see the way you see. Somebody with the hurt that I could have helped, somebody with the hand that I could have held, when I just can't past myself, Lord, help me be a little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and One, two, three. A little more like mercy, a little more like grace, a little more like kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like patience, a little more like peace, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. A little more like living everything I preach, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. I think there's probably not a day that goes by I can't say that. I need to be a little more like Jesus and a whole lot less like me. Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. everybody doing this morning? Awesome. Well, as you can tell, I am not Pastor Larry. Thankfully, he made it to Florida. He is enjoying nothing at all because he's not in Florida. He's actually in Myrtle Beach. But I wanted to see you guys a little bit so you guys didn't try to find him, right? He is enjoying his vacation. I have been told that he is going to call me, and I told him I'm going to ignore your call. So if you guys need anything, please don't hesitate. Reach out to me. Reach out to Zeke. We're happy to help you out with something if something's going on. We're here for you guys in any way we can be. That being said, Pastor Larry is away. He is safe. And let's continue to pray for him and Donna as they continue to enjoy their vacation. But that said, we do have a guest speaker with us today, so it is my privilege and honor to introduce to you guys Chuck Morrow from the Association. He is our Director of Missions, so without further ado, Chuck, if you'd want to come on up here for us.
Thank you. All right, it's good to be here in the house of the Lord today. Man, what wonderful worship that was.
Amen.
Wow. Hope you don't mind. Drink some water during this. But man, that was great worship. I appreciate being here this morning and taking the time to fill in for Brother Larry while he's on vacation. You know, there are so many things that I'm grateful for Open Door and what you do for the association. But one of the things I'm really, really grateful for is your heart for ministry, your heart to serve, your heart to be able to reach out to others. And so I really thank you all for being a church that's on mission. It's very clear when you see what's going on around here and what God is doing. And just to see these children that were up here earlier, amen, man, wow, what amazing. That was just wonderful hearing those children this morning. There's not too many churches across the country that have a group of children like that will get up and sing, actually want to get up to sing too. So that was just such a blessing to witness and be part of this morning. But you know, this morning I'm thinking about some things because I've got a lot going on. I've traveled a lot in the last couple of weeks, and maybe some of you have as well. I'm preparing for a lot of things as the week goes on. I'm preparing for tomorrow. My son has a 10U baseball game tomorrow. I'm preparing for a ministry outreach this afternoon down at a dirt track motor speedway down in Tyler County, going to do some raceway ministry down there. I'm preparing for a lot, and some of you might be preparing for some things as well. You know, how many of y'all planning for a cookout or a barbecue sometime this weekend, right? Labor Day weekend, we're all planning on getting around whether we want to go or not. And then we've got all these little things. Maybe folks are coming to your house and you're preparing for that, right? There's a lot of prep that's going on in this weekend as folks are getting out and about and just enjoying time together. But you know, there's a lot of preparation that we're doing in our lives, okay? Our lives as a whole, as we are living our life for Christ and we're going and doing things, that preparation, I pray, is that preparation when you come to the end of your life, when you stand before the Lord, right? There's a lot that goes into this, and primarily it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I'm going to be bringing the message from the book of Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. I'm going to have the scripture up on the slides as well. But if you could, let's stand for the reading of God's word, because before that day, we need to be able to understand what Christ is saying to us and why we need to be paying very close attention to what he's saying, especially right here. Starting in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, Jesus says this. He says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Let's pray. Father God, we pray, Lord, that as we're here, our hearts and minds are open to you and who you are. Lord, as we just sang, Lord, I speak Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we take a look at our lives, that we can speak your name in every aspect of our lives, as we go through to be able to take a look at who we are when we stand before you. Lord God, I just thank you for those who are here this morning. And I know that as your word goes out, Lord, I pray that it touches some hearts here, Lord. And I know that it won't come back void. So God, as your word goes, Lord, and as it settles on the hearts and minds, I pray for your Holy Spirit to be about this place as it goes and it moves around, Lord. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house. We thank you to be able to be here in your presence, Lord, to be able to sing these praises. But as we come to hear your word, Lord, may we be not only hearers today, but may we be doers. For we ask this all in Jesus Christ's holy name. And all of God's people said, amen. You can be seated. You know, some things that's really important. Before that day, there's some things we got to be thinking about. Because you saw earlier in that passage, he says several things, and in that day is shown up a couple of times. But the title of today's message is Before That Day. Or as we are preparing our lives and serving the Lord and living a life that honors the Lord, I pray that every one of you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But the point is that not everybody that I encounter has a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I can't guarantee that everyone in this room has a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's between you and the Lord. But I pray that today, as we go through some of these things, even if you are one of those who is on the fence, thinking that you have a relationship, because there's going to be some folks in this passage that we'll talk about that think, I hope that you can take a look at your life. Don't think, no. You know, February 21st, 2003, not too far away from here over in West Liberty, I was one of those who was, I think I know. You know, I was going to go out on a date with someone, and that evening, that person, she said, Chuck, when you die, where will you go? And I said, I think. I was one of those that thought he was going to heaven. You know, I was a good person. I did all the right things. I wasn't a terrible person. Listen, I was a college kid, all right? I was a college kid. I did things that college kids do. I just thought I was a good person. But that night changed my life dramatically, because when I said, I think, that person pointed out that I have reasonable doubt, okay? So I'm so glad that person had the opportunity to really make the gospel real and share it with me that night. Before that day came in my life, right? Before that day comes. One day you and I will stand before the Lord. And we'll have to give an account for what did we do and why we deserve to be there in heaven. So I pray that as we go through this, we can take a look at that. So the first thing we need to take a look at before that day is to be able to know whose you are, all right? Know whose you are. As we take a look at this first part of Scripture, in verse 21, it says this. It says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. And if you're a highlighter, a scribbler, or a writer in your Bibles, go ahead and just mark that not everyone, because there's something really important to know about this. The sad truth is that every single person who ever lived and will live will not enter into heaven. Let me say that again. Not everyone who has lived, currently living, I'll put in there, and will live, not everyone will enter into the kingdom of heaven. There's some that don't. This is an exclusive right. Jesus is being very direct here. Not everyone. It's not inclusive. It's not all-inclusive. Today, we have a society where we live in a society that everybody deserves something, right? Everybody deserves something good. Everybody deserves this. Everybody deserves that. But listen, not everyone will get this. This passage of Scripture, when I first read it as a new believer, I was frightened by that. Because I'm thinking, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Lord, not everyone? Not everyone. As he begins this portion, this is a closing appeal. Jesus is closing out what we call the Sermon on the Mount here. This closing appeal is an invitation, this driving to the end of this, the whole thing of what Jesus is saying here to a point. Earlier in this book, In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14, Jesus shares the following, which really pulls us into where we are. Starting in 7, verses 13, it says this, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Again, I'm a highlighter person, so I'd like to point out some words here. The first part of that is this, is enter by the narrow gate, for wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by. You see, these people, there's many people that's on here. One of those that I follow sometimes, John MacArthur sheds some light on this part. He says that this includes, now take note of this, these people that are on this road, this includes pagans, nominal Christians, atheists, religionists, theists, humanists, Jews, and Gentiles, every person from whatever age, every background, every persuasion, circumstance, who has not come to the saving obedience of Jesus Christ. Not everyone, right? All these on this road, entering by the narrow gate. Seeing these words here, the narrow, wide, broad, and destruction. Yet this word for destruction here, I'm going to mispronunciate the understanding of this word destruction, but it's apaleia, which means in total ruin. You know, how many of you have experienced total ruin? I'm going to venture to say that none of you in this room has yet experienced total ruin. This is a total destruction, total annihilation of things. I think the closest that you might be able to understand that is when a major storm comes by and it wipes out everything of your livelihood. I don't know if anyone in this room has ever had that happen. I haven't, but I can remember some years ago, back in 2005, 2006, somewhere in that area was Hurricane Katrina. Who here remembers Hurricane Katrina? When that hurricane came through, it wiped out a devastating path from Texas clear over to Florida, all right? It wiped everything out. You have New Orleans that's sitting there, and it's in a fishbowl, and all of the levees and everything broke and failed, and then all of the massive flooding came in addition to all the rains and everything, and lives were lost, houses were lost, ruin was there, right? And there's still people recovering to this day from that hurricane. That's ruin. But it's the difference in this ruin and that ruin is that when a hurricane comes through, you get folks that come down like Southern Baptist Disaster Relief that can help you, First Aid, Red Cross, all these groups showing that there is hope. There's still hope while we're here. There's still hope while we are here. There's still hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ while we're here. When things happen to us, we can step back and we can see that, listen, there is still more out there. But this destruction here, the way it leads to destruction, this destruction is a total loss. No recovery. Nothing. Nothing will be brought back from this. This passage also shows that as we speak of salvation and our relationship with Christ, it must be sought after, searched for, and one diligently seeking. How many of us today have honestly spent time with the Lord in our quiet place? How many of us today have spent time working on a relationship with Christ? How many of us daily do this? Listen, this is a constant thing. This is not a one and done. When we have a relationship with Christ, it's not that, okay, I've received you as Lord and Savior, come into my heart and my life. Yes, thank you, Lord. But then leave it at that and do nothing the rest of your life. It's about discipleship. It's about a constant daily relationship. You know, I saw the slide for the workshop that we're going to have here in a couple of weeks for how we got the Bible. Rick Sawinski does a great job for our association with discipleship because discipleship is something that's missing in a lot of folks' lives today, is really having that personal driven point of having that relationship and making that relationship strong. Because this is something that we must have, that we're diligently seeking, diligently moving forward to, earnestly looking for in our lives. How many of you today can say that you're earnestly seeking Christ in your life? How many of you today can do that? Because simply not everyone does it. Looking at this, verse 14 says, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few who find it. This is not easy again. Speaking of the exclusivity of the gospel, this is exclusive to the believer. Few find it. Many years ago, the Marines had a slogan that's few, the proud, the Marines, right? You all remember that. Well, listen, this is the few, the proud, those who actually follow Jesus Christ, okay? Those who actually follow. Are you living a life that's following Christ? Do you know whose you are? Because that's not a guarantee here. This is an exclusivity. So not everyone. Going back into our verse here, Scripture, verse 21, it says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Now think about this. These parts are highlighted for a reason here. Not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," specifically this "Lord, Lord," as we look at this, these people, they claim to know who Jesus is, okay? They're standing before the Lord. He says there will be those, and they're going to say, "Lord, Lord." They're going to say it in a way that should be like, obviously, we've done this, right? Charles Spurgeon mentions this when speaking of these types of people. He says this, "They virtually declare that they were disciples." When they say, "Lord, Lord," they're declaring that they're a disciple. Be careful of what you say and do. This says plainly, as though they were not at all ashamed of it, they're saying, "Lord, Lord." They were indeed even proud of it. They say it twice over, zealously, frequently, "Lord, Lord." This is Charles Spurgeon who wrote this. He said that they said it as if they were saying it so sweet that they couldn't say it often enough. You know, there's a lot of people who put on a good act, who say that they're a believer, and they'll throw out the "Lord" every now and then in their conversation. But do they honestly believe what they're saying? Do they honestly have that relationship? This is more than just a non-believer as well. This is somebody who strongly thinks that they are saved. You see, I thought that I would go to heaven, right? When I said, "I think," when a person asked me, "When I die, where would I go?" I said, "I think." I thought that I was going to go to heaven when I died because I was a good person. I did good things. Well, that wasn't enough. You see, today in the church, we have individuals in the church today, and maybe some even in this room, that believe that they're going to heaven. Deacons, elders, leadership members, and there's even pastors who fall into this. You know, a long time ago, there was a movie, a movie that I saw when I was around 7 years old, and it kind of frightened me a little bit, to tell you the truth. I don't know if anyone in this room remembers. It was called Mark of the Beast, okay? I don't know if anyone's ever seen that. Old movie. It's an old school movie. But there was a part in that movie that haunts to this day to realize why I'm doing what I'm doing. As the Lord just, like, put that in my mind, there's a pastor after the rapture happens, that's standing at a pulpit in a church with its doors that are chained shut, and he's preaching, and he's praying. He's praying to God, asking for forgiveness, because he wasn't actually saved. Remember the exclusivity of the gospel. It's important. Believe. Know that you believe. Have a relationship. They live as on the outside they know who Christ is. And they even bring it up in conversation. These folks, they will do that. I did that. I went to church before I was saved, and I brought Jesus up in conversation. But again, I wasn't really saved at that time. I didn't know. They had intellectual, deep conversations, but on the inside, Christ does not dwell. They know, but they don't know. Here. You see, you can have all of this. You have all this head knowledge. If you don't have it right in here, if you're not living it, you don't have it. This might sound harsh, but again, we opened up with, this is an exclusive right to believers. As we'll see soon here, however, this could cause us to look at the fruit of what we are producing. Do we say, Lord, Lord, because of our relationship, or do we say, Lord, Lord, just because of head knowledge? That's only for you to discern in your lives. Jesus makes a distinction between those who are his and those who are not, and he seals it up through a qualifying reasoning with the one who does the will of his Father in heaven, the ones who truly have a relationship with the Father. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? The ones who truly have a relationship with the Father, those who are regenerated, saved, who believe. This even runs true in those who are in the church. Jesus gives us this final reason to why so few enter into the narrow gate. J.C. Ryle says this: the Lord Jesus winds up the Sermon on the Mount by a heart-piercing application. He turns from false prophets to false professors, from unsound teachers to unsound hearers. Those who are hearing this today, please, I ask that you know before that day, know whose you are. Because before that day, you need to know why you do what you do. Second part of that passage of scripture, verse 22, says this: many will say to me in that day, again, we hear that, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? The people mentioned here first, they were not silent to anyone. Listen, they went on in their entire lives, or most of their lives, saying, we've done this. Have we not prophesied in your name, cast out these demons, done these things? Have I not done all this stuff in your name, Lord? Have I not acted great in your name, Lord? Have I not done? Listen, it's not about doing stuff, okay? It's not about building your way a little pedestal and building all this stuff up, bricks and bricks upon bricks of good deeds and all this stuff until you get to heaven. We see that in Scripture, it doesn't work. It doesn't. You know, we see in the Old Testament, they tried to build a way to God. That didn't work. All of this that we do doesn't work. It's not about all of this stuff. It's about a relationship. You see, they prophesied in Christ's name, yet nobody said to them, you shall not prophesy again. No one called out that, listen, are you really a believer? Are you saying things that line up in the Word of God? We have to be able to test that. Yet no one said not to prophesy again. The man who went on casting out devils, he was never stopped, but he kept on doing so. We see a lot of this so-called prophesizing and the so-called casting out demons and faith healers and all of this. Send me $25 and I will send you this little vial that has holy water in it. What? Come on. It will heal you. Listen. Do not be deceived of the wolves in sheep's clothing, okay? There is a lot of that goes on today in our society. We see it on TV. We see it in the prosperity side of the gospel. We see it on a name it, claim it, folks. But we have to take a step back and realize, again, it always points back to relationship. It always points back to that. Some of us have seen ministers whose characters have been ruined so that they will never likely preach again. We've seen it again with all these things that go on and take place. But I'm going to tell you that not everything will add up. I'm going to put a slide up here, an illustration. One of my favorite illustrations here. This illustration is, some might call this the bridge theory, the gap theory. But it's so important to remember, when you take a look at all of this, when you see man, and then you have God, and then in the middle you have the cross, the hearing, the believing, John 14:6, this is one of those things. We have an eternal death with all of the things that we try to do. Remember I said that we can try to build all this stuff up, but all it leads is to a separation from him. Religion, you might think the education, your good morals, your good deeds. I was in that track. I was all in that track, and if someone didn't share the gospel with me after that night and I was in a tragic accident, I would have been going to hell, and I know it. But someone shared the gospel with me. Then I believed. I received. My life changed dramatically February 21st, 2003. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father but by me. I truly understood that night. Do you know what that means in your life? No matter what we do, as we see in this passage, nothing you do upon yourself will gain an eternity to heaven. There's only one thing. It's by having a relationship, by receiving him, the free gift that Christ gives. Many who say and do things in Jesus' name, but yet inside the Holy Spirit does not dwell. And for some, mostly it's just a head knowledge. I pray today it's not just a head knowledge for you. I pray today that you caution yourself, that you can be able to take a look at yourself and know it's more than just that. So before that day, know why you do what you do. But finally, before that day, do not be mistaken. Don't be mistaken. The latter part of this passage of Scripture says this in verse 23. I want to give a warning here. This is the scariest words that Christ speaks in the Bible. The most alarming words that Christ speaks in the Bible. I pray no one hears these words in this room. He goes and he says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You see, the Lord declares. Jesus declares. You got to think about this. The one who speaks life, creation, everything in the beginning. We're talking of the God of the universe, the God of the cosmos, the God of every single thing that's there. In the beginning, we see, in the beginning, God, the supreme power of who he is, that when he speaks, things happen. The earth was created. All of creation comes from him speaking. But then his very breath brings man. We need to understand this, that this is the same God that's going to say, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Jesus, who died on the cross for us, why would Jesus say something like this? Again, because it's about a relationship. Exclusive. I never knew you. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19 says this. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows whose are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. You see, Timothy shares this. I never knew you. Depart from me. Verse 23, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And that lawlessness can be translated in some of you who practice evil. I know it just sounds just like depressing and doom and gloom. But we have to hear the hard things of what Christ says too. Amen. And understand that Christ did not say this just to say, hey, you know what, there's going to be those that's not going to believe, and I'm going to say, depart from me. He doesn't say it in like that. He's being direct. Again, he's giving this invitation, closing out this grand message. Listen, in the very beginning, Jesus says this in the Sermon on the Mount. I don't have the scripture up there, but he says, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." At this point, thinking about this, you practice lawlessness and evil. You got to realize that when Jesus says that, he doesn't intend that to happen for you. He doesn't want it to happen to you. But he wants folks to understand when he says at the very beginning of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," is for those who understand that blessed are you who realize you cannot save yourself. Amen. You cannot do anything on your own self to gain eternity in heaven. But you must rely on a Savior. Knowing this, I pray that you have a relationship with him. And I pray that you do not hear those words, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Because those are chilling words, ladies and gentlemen. This is something for you to share with your friends, your neighbors, your children, relatives, anyone you know. That Jesus wants a relationship, not an act. Right? As the worship team's coming up here, we get ready to close. He will turn those away who are not his. Jesus will turn away those who are not his. Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So I pray that before that day comes, that you know these things. To know whose you are. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? To know why you do what you do. The purpose from having a relationship with Christ means that we should bear fruit. And then not to be mistaken. Remember, there are those out there who want to do as Satan does, to steal, kill, and destroy. But I pray that today, that you understand today the importance of why a relationship is important, of having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus came. I don't know hardly anyone in this room. I know a handful, but I don't know you personally like God does. Is that fair enough? I don't know where you come from. I don't know what kind of life you live. I don't know the problems that you have. But I know this. God does. I don't. But I also know that God knows if you have a relationship with him. Just like I have a relationship with my wife and my boys. They know me, and I know them. A relationship with Jesus is the same thing. He knows you and you know him. You see, way back, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. All the wrong things that you've ever done in your life. You can't do anything to make up for that. You can be like that illustration. If you could, put that picture back up there. You can be like the illustration of those who try to do what they can to be able to make their way to heaven. You can do all of that. But that falls short. What it comes to is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Knowing that Jesus lived a perfect life, died a death on the cross, and while he's on the cross, he says these words. He says a marketing term, and that marketing term that he says is tetelese. Tetelese, meaning paid in full. It is finished. He took all of your sin. It is finished. Tetelese, paid it in full, and he died. He not only died on the cross, but yet when he was on the cross, they took him down. He was put into a borrowed tomb. He laid there, and 3 days later, he rose again victoriously, sealing that for us. And now he sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. Having a relationship with him is the one that gives us the eternity in heaven. Trusting and believing in his holy name and living a life serving him. So as we get ready to close in worship, we take this time. The altar's here. The altar's open to you to pray. If you're on the fence, don't be. Don't be like me thinking that I was saved. Listen, we're not guaranteed the moments after now. But what we are able to have and know is that today is the day of salvation. You have the opportunity. And maybe you've fallen back in your relationship and you got to get things right. Today's that day as well to get back on track with your relationship with Jesus and have that solid foundation. That's the decisions. So I pray that as we close in worship here, that we have those things on our minds. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for all the things you do. Lord, I pray that those in this room, those who might be watching, Lord, I pray that they have a relationship with you. I pray, Lord, that as we are gathered here today, that we take a look at our own lives, Lord, be not only hearers of your word, but doers of your word, Lord. To be able to know that, Lord, if we are falling back in our relationship, that we need to come back to you, that we need to be revived in ourselves. We need to be revived, Lord, because your Holy Spirit is here, Lord. We need to be able to understand that, Lord, how great a chasm there is between us and you, but knowing that the cross fills that gap. Lord, may we trust and know and a living hope today. May we trust and declare to you that we follow you and trust you. Lord, be with Pastor Larry as he's traveling, and Donna. Give them rest and comfort. And may those, his sheep, Lord, the flock here, be eagerly anticipating, loving, serving, eagerly waiting for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Chuck. Y'all please stand as we sing. And, you know, start playing, Kathy, it's fine. As we start to sing, I was just thinking about your graphics you had up there. And the first lyric of this song is how great the chasm that lay between us, and that the cross fills that chasm.
How great the chasm.